This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Two words, people, two words, free shipping. A report from the National Retail Federation says 75% of us don't expect to have to pay to get stuff delivered to our front door. That might get more of us to click the checkout button, sure, but more online shopping also means more returns. And for companies, the sales loss, the shipping costs, the warehouse space, the restocking, it all adds up. So Lila Goldstein set out to discover exactly how retailers are dealing with that deluge of returns.
Nina Frank Williams loves the experience of sifting through secondhand clothes at Goodwill. But when it comes to finding jeans with that perfect fit, she turns to the internet.
I really like Levi's jeans, and they have a lot more selection online as far as the styles go.
She recently ordered three different pairs of Levi's. Two weren't right, so she sent them back. And she was curious, what happened to those jeans after she returned them?
Where does it end up? Does it get resold? Does it get trashed? You know, what's the life of this returned merchandise?
Williams' guesses are on the right track. Some returns might be put back on store shelves. Others end up in a landfill. Some are sold in bulk, and some are donated. None of that is unusual. What's new is the amount of returns retailers are dealing with because of online shopping. E-commerce sales in the U.S. topped $500 billion in 2018, up almost 15% from the year before.
Return rates on online sales are much higher than return rates from brick-and-mortar sales, three, four, five times higher.
Jordan Jakubowicz is with Optoro, a company that makes software to streamline the returns process. Optoro's clients include big retailers like Target and Best Buy. He says the kind of automation that makes shipping orders out so efficient these days, i.e. robots, isn't exactly possible when return items come back to the retailers.
Returns don't come back neatly packaged in pristine boxes. You might get a truck at the warehouse that has a laptop on it, and it has a lawnmower, and it has a t-shirt, and it has a bouncy ball.
So retailers use data analytics to reduce costs when sorting out returns, spending more resources on $2,000 TVs, say, and less on $2 socks. Companies also bundle up returned merchandise and auction it off to resellers on sites like liquidation.com.
This stuff, all of this equipment, everything you see, is what we bought on liquidation pallets.
Here in his living room in Queens, New York, Naveed Ahmed sorts through a recent shipment. The furniture is covered with boxes of Amazon and Walmart returns. Wooden pallets stacked 4 feet high with merchandise get delivered to his curb. Each one costs around $400 to $800. He does get to see a list of what's included before he bids, but the condition of the items is no guarantee. Take this brand new Milwaukee drill bit set. He says the original buyer...
They took out one piece that they needed, and they shipped all of this back.
Stacks of DVDs, four mini towers, and a set of Ralph Lauren crystal drinking glasses rests on the couch.
I'm not sure about how to resell something that expensive and why somebody would want to buy it.
Once he inspects everything, he'll donate the low-quality stuff and trash the broken things. He pays for electronic waste to be taken away and also spends $900 a month on a storage unit. The good stuff, he reboxes and resells on sites like, you guessed it, Amazon.
We can make somewhere between $150 to $250 per pallet.
But there's always the possibility that the things Ahmed sells will also get returned. And that's a huge headache for him.
Being a seller, I understand how painful it can be and how it can make or break businesses.
That's changed the way he shops for himself. Even though Amazon returns fuel his business, he says in the last year, he hasn't returned a thing. I'm Lila Goldstein for Marketplace.